There's a question for you to ponder. Do you remember each day who you are? How we view ourselves will affect everything that we do. What exactly is the viewpoint of a Christian? Let's look at that from that angle. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 through 20, Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." What does that tell us? We have been bought and cleansed by God. Quite simply. And consequently, our purpose is to glorify God. You know, parents are not immune to saying to their children when they go somewhere, "Remember who you are." I know more than one parent who said that. But it always brings great pain to know that a child has caused their parents great shame because they forgot who they were. We, as Christians, are always in a battle to keep our hearts attuned to God's ways. At conversion, we should look back and be ashamed of our prior conduct. That's the essence of what Paul was talking about over in Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 20 and on through verse 22. He says, "For when you were slaves of sin," that is, you used to be, "you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you now are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and becoming slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, eternal life." A good test of where we are going spiritually is to examine what and who makes us ashamed. The subject of shame is an interesting one. And to look at it from the standpoint of the value of shame is maybe a little bit strange. But you'll see what I have in mind. What does it mean to be ashamed? Well, ashamed is defined as denoting a sense of guilt and remorse, to be ashamed, as in Romans 6 and verse 21. It is defined as denoting the fear of embarrassment that one's expectations may prove false, or to be ashamed, be embarrassed, that's the idea. To hesitate, as in Romans 1 and verse 16, passage we're all familiar with. It is defined as denoting reluctance through fear of humiliation, to be ashamed, be afraid, to lack or to lack courage, or to lack the courage to stand up for something. It's in Mark 8 and verse 38. It can always be toward something that is wrong, or it can be toward expectations that have let us down. Now, there are two conflicting systems that teach us about shame. If you look at Romans chapter 8 with me for just a moment, chapter 8 verses 5 through 8, notice here Paul wrote, those who live according to the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, now this is talking about those who set their mind on things of the flesh, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, or setting your mind on things of the Spirit, spiritually minded, is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Here we are seeing a great increase around us of the powers of this world towards what we should be ashamed of. And of course, the goal of this world, or of this carnal world, is to cause us to not be ashamed of so many things. For instance, the carnal world asks us, should we be ashamed of the practice of homosexuality, or ashamed of the one who opposes it? Think about society today. Who gets shamed? Not the person practicing it, but the person who would dare to raise their voice against it. The question: should we put our trust in the man who teaches and stands upon the Word of God? Or shall we trust the man whom the world praises? We're going to have to choose. And we can be persuaded to change our thinking if we allow it. But life will challenge us every day. And in so doing, it will prove who we really are. God's people build their thoughts upon God and the truths that He reveals. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, 11 through 13, Paul talks about being appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and in love, which are in Christ Jesus. That's to you and me. He's talking to us. If you turn over to the Psalms, the 25th Psalm, and read with me the Psalm 25, verses 1 through 5. You, O Lord, to you I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Indeed, encouraging words from David. Righteousness, justice, mercy, and truth will always be found within the hearts of those who put their trust in God. How they think And why they choose is based upon the truth of God. And they are willing to stand on it firmly. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, Peter wrote, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." They become accustomed to being rejected. And they become accustomed to being falsely attacked by those in the world. In 1 John chapter... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't read that yet. I want to get it before I go on. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, John writes, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Now think about that. You want to know how to tell the truth from error? Well, you take a look around you at the people who hear God's word and accept it. And then you take a look and you find the people who reject God's word and have nothing to do with it. And there you've got a dividing line. A pretty good dividing line right there. People who hear God's word are the ones who listen to God and heed his word. But I want to ask a question now. This is what I've mentioned this a little bit ago. Of whom are you ashamed? Now that's a probing question. All men will use moral systems that they have learned to guide their lives, whatever moral system they have become accustomed to. Some are going to profess to be guided by God, but actually they're following after the world. In John chapter 16, beginning with the first verse, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers service to God, like Saul of Tarsus. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me." Now notice, he's not talking about evil men who don't profess anything with regard to God. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the Jews. They profess to know God and to follow God. And what did Saul of Tarsus say? "I have lived in all good conscience before God and man." And what was he doing? Well, he was killing Christians. That's what he was doing. We need to understand here that some who profess to be guided by God actually are not. And they're our enemies. Whenever you trust in worldly men, unfortunately, you will be greatly ashamed over time. An example of this is in Isaiah chapter 20 and verse 5. Whenever Isaiah says, "Then they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, and Egypt their glory." Men are going to let you down. don't have any reason to depend on them. Well, why should we not be ashamed of our brethren? Or no, we should not be ashamed of our brethren who walk by faith. Consider the principles that... I can't make up my own notes. Okay. We understand that there are certain principles upon which we make our daily decisions. Okay? Whenever we make decisions to put God first, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, you know what the world thinks? They think we're crazy. They think we're crazy. And consider a local church that seeks to glorify God by only abiding within the teachings of the head of the church, which is Christ. In 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God might be glorified. Remember our purpose, glorify God. Through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. But the world thinks that's crazy. You people over there just got a little handful and you can't really do anything. You have a building that looks like an industrial facility. You need a great big church house with a steeple on it. And you can really make some impact on society. So you do whatever's necessary to get it. They don't understand this. We seek authority from on high and act accordingly. But, you know, something we often forget. Paul knew the pain of brethren who became ashamed at him because he stood against the world and suffered for it. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, Paul, writing to Timothy, says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. You notice, this Demas had a love for this present world. That was painful for Paul. To have a brother who was working with him and suffering with him and so forth. And then he took off because he loved this present world. Look with me also down in verses 14 through 16 of this same context. And he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You must also beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Can you imagine that? Those who were there with Paul in the presence of the apostle of Jesus Christ, they all forsook him? That must have been painful. What a disappointment. But listen to what he says. May it not be charged against them. Paul recognized their weaknesses, and he says, may it not be charged against them. But Paul was thankful for those brethren that stood with him and were not ashamed. In 2 Timothy 1, beginning verse 15, he said, this you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Philetus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, For he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. A change in what causes us shame is an indicator of a changing heart. Notice with me what Paul was exhorting Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 8. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. We must learn to never be ashamed of God. When we come to know God, we become committed to the light and become ashamed of the darkness. The two go together. In John 3, begin with verse 19, John writes, "This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and the men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and they have been done in God." Looking down to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 8. "You who were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed and made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light." Moving on to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." 1 John 5 down verse 2. "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." On down to verse 20 of that same chapter. "And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, and in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." God tells us exactly what he will do, and we can rest assured that he will keep his word. We learn to think and to choose upon a doctrinal core. That is, we are honest and open about what we stand for. In the Psalms, and I'm going to hit several. Psalm 119, you might just open your Bible to it and follow along. But in Psalm number 119, verses 5 and 6, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into your commandments." Verses 46 and 47, "I will speak of your testimonies before kings and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love." Going down to verse 78. "Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. But I will still meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me. Let those who know your testimonies, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. And on down to verse 116. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. David knew what it was to stand open and honest before God. Truth brings a willingness to be tested and to communicate with others. You know, there's along this line, what churches are there in this area that openly expose their beliefs to be tested by the scriptures? How many churches can we name that are honest and open about what they believe? Now, I bring to your remembrance that we are surrounded by many churches that have names that are deceptive and don't plainly tell people what their doctrine is, such as Bible Fellowship Church. It's a Baptist church, but they don't want you to know that. Why? Because you'd be turned away by a Baptist church. Now, I'll grant you, there are some Baptists still around. We got some of them down here in the lemon orchard, just a little ways down the road down here. Nice folks, too, by the way. Nice folks. And they're not ashamed of being a Baptist. They're proud of it. But what about these deceivers? They don't want their doctrine examined because it would put them in a difficult position. There's just not many churches that are open and honest and who want to have their doctrine examined. Satan really would rather that he isolate people and never have their choices tested. Relationships and passion then becomes the power that pulls you into darkness. Oh, I don't want challenge from what I believe. No. I'm happy. I just leave me alone over here. That's what Satan wants. In Psalm 1 and the first two verses, David expresses the attitude that we want to have. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but delights in the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That's total opposite of what Satan would have. Total opposite. Now, one day, we will desire that God not be ashamed of us. It's coming. It's coming. One day, we're going to desire that. Now, what will we hear when we stand before God in the last day? Well, in Mark chapter 8, verse 38, we read, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes with the glory of his Father and with his holy angels." What does that tell us? Well, we must not be ashamed of him now, or we'll be cast off. Be cast off by him. Satan is going to test every follower of God just the way he did Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 50, verses 6 and 7, Isaiah, speaking prophetically, says, I gave back to those who struck me, and my cheeks, those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. Jesus was slapped, had his hair pulled out, was spat upon. Matthew 26 and verse 27. 67, I mean. But he was not in any way ashamed. Nope. That didn't cause Jesus any shame at all. He had a face like flint. In Ezekiel 3, 8 and 9, Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, your forehead strong against their foreheads, like adamant stone, harder than flint. I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. God wants us to be that way. No matter what we have to face, we look at the rapidly changing practices of the churches around us. I spoke to a woman on the phone. I haven't seen her for over 30 years. But I had the privilege of baptizing her and her husband into Christ in Colorado Springs. That'll take you back a ways, about 40 years ago. But do you know one of the things that she asked me? What is happening to the churches? That's what she asked me. She could see it in her, and she, by the way, she is in Massachusetts, where churches are about as scarce as hen's teeth. But she can see it, and she's concerned about it. Why is this happening, she asked me. Well, I'll tell you the same thing I told her. Whenever we abandon God's word and the teaching that it demands, we're going to be pulled in every direction with every changing standard that the world throws at us. And that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. That's why we see churches changing in so many ways. So, and some even taking the Lord's name off of the local meeting place because they don't want anyone to have that stigma of the Church of Christ. Can you imagine that? The church that Jesus died for is a stigma? But you know, that's what some people are doing. Let's be diligent to be challenged by the distinctive teaching that comes from God. We may need to be ashamed someday of how little we know. And for that reason, we need to study to show ourselves approved. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Do you know who you are? Now, I don't mean pull out your driver's license and check your name and so forth. That's not what I'm talking about. Turn over with me to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, and that you have a name, And you are alive, but you are dead. The Lord said that. Yeah, you got a name, but you're dead. You're dead. In Romans 1:16, Paul wrote, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. What was Paul saying there? Well, there are some people that were ashamed of it. Some people are like the churches in that Jesus had to deal with in the book of Revelation. Some weren't proud of the fact that Jesus had paid the price for their sins. They wanted to kind of keep it low key. Why? Well, because it's kind of shameful to go talking around about crucifying someone. We need never shrink from the conflict that a living faith demands. We will not be ashamed at the end result of our pursuit. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, Paul's writing to the brethren over in Philippi said, according to my earnest expectation and in hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's how Paul felt. No shame. In Romans 10, verse 11, the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. That's the facts. Let us never be ashamed of who we are. And let us have proper shame towards things that bring reproach on the Lord, his church, and his name.